I tweeted something over the weekend.
I saw it.
I love me some college football, and people know that about me. But I love me some pro football.
Yep.
My 16-year-old kid's probably more into the pro football. So there you go. I really could, because someone asked me over the weekend, what do you like more? And I said, really, it's just great to have a full day Saturday of dedicated to college football and a full day on Sunday. And, of course, yesterday was the first full day of Sunday, and I was just, the red zone is just fantastic. My Bengals won yesterday, which was amazing. There was a fourth down call in overtime, which was just fantastic. It was just great. And so I'm watching, and I said, you know, saying which one I like more is like telling people which child I love most. Yeah. It just doesn't happen. So I got a very interesting tweet from a gentleman that came out and you know, he said,
said which kid he liked best.
He said, I love all my kids equally as well, but if I had to choose one to send to daycare, the choice ain't hard. And then someone else, John Dorman, wrote, everyone has a favorite. You may not want to ever admit it, but deep down you do. It was a journalist or a radio guy or something. This is about 3 or 4 years ago, that said, let's just cut the crap. We all have a favorite child. Now, let's just separate this first.
Yeah.
Between love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And which one you like more, or which one you have more in common with? Okay.
Okay. Well, you're already making it a little more complicated.
Well, sure. Is there a child that you love more than another child?
No.
No. Now,
well, no, I don't. There are definitely.
If you did, though,
would you say anything?
Would you say it? What, no, could you admit it? And that's what I just tweeted out. I said, is it okay to.
No.
Is it okay to say, I do like this child more than this other child? And second of all, is it okay to admit it to somebody?
Your psychologist. Your psychologist. Your psychologist, your priest, your rabbi, your imam.
Yeah.
So those are the only people you could do. You could do it to your, again, you could do it to your, that's it. I was trying to think, is there anyone else? That's it. Psychologist and any clergy who's sworn to secrecy.
And is there something wrong? Fathers are always going to have a special bond with their sons.
Not necessarily.
As a rule.
No.
As a rule, because we're men. No, they are.
No.
I'm speaking for every guy out there.
Okay, but you're what if your son is not interested in anything that you're interested in? And what if your son goes completely against all the things you want to do? I'll make it even stronger.
I'm just telling you from a gender situation, okay? If you're a guy, there is already a lot in common you have with your son. You both have PPs. You both are boys for the most part, unless your son turns out to be gay, and that's minimal possibility. But for the most part, you're going to have a lot. Boys are going to spend more time with their fathers because they're going to be camping more. We're going to be chasing frogs.
You are
they're going to be doing
so
this.
Over. You're like, you're so.
And girls are going to do more with their mothers. Period.
No, no.
As a general rule, yes.
No.
Yes.
There's more.
It's not to say that fathers aren't a huge part of their daughter's life, and they don't get a father-daughter
dance.
That's
not what I'm talking about. No, listen, you really are broad brushing it, and you play into the very stereotypes. There are millions of fathers who have daughters who, I'm thinking of every combination. There are millions of fathers who have daughters and sons. Now, here's the other problem.
You have to have fathers and sons.
Well, that's the other problem. So let's say
if you have all daughters.
So what, do you have anything in common with them?
Well, there's no point there because they don't have a son.
So there's no argument there. Okay, so if you have a father and a son, I'm sorry, a daughter and a son.
Yep.
What you're saying is that by definition, you have more in common.
Not by definition. I'm just saying there's more common ground between a father and a son than there is in a father and a daughter.
Why?
Because they're both the same gender. More in common. Okay. Our body types are more the same. We both have a penis. We both have a lot more in common. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they love them more.
Anatomically,
you're a little ahead of the game.
Yes, anatomically, absolutely.
Okay.
And those. But as far as interests and compatibility,
both have lizard brains.
This is where I think you're completely wrong. This is what I think you're completely wrong, because you got to remember your son. Let's just use your son. Your son is a byproduct of his two parents, whether they are, whether that's your genes or they're, in the case they're adopted, okay. And who they are, not anatomically, but who they are, their interests, their personality tendencies, all those things are, you have an equal shot of them being as much their mother, if you will, as your father. And we see kids, definitely see kids, we'll use sons, who are this interesting, like half and half, half and half. But then there's also sons who are, you know, much more personality like their mom, much more like their dad. Okay.
Sure, absolutely.
So that's what I'm saying is that when you have a great chance of having a son who has a lot of similarity to you, a lot of difference in you than you, in some cases, so much similarity to you that there is a sort of a butting of the heads.
Yep.
Sometimes so much different than you, again, personality-wise, that they have a closer relationship socially or whatever with their moms. And the flip side, that's all I'm saying is...
And all I'm saying is because you're both boys, there is a little bit more commonality there. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
At the very least. If you put a father in front of a daughter and a son, they're both the same age, and you go... Which one do you have more in common with? You're going to say the son.
No, no. See, yeah. I disagree with you unless you're talking purely anatomically. I totally disagree with you.
Anatomically is a big part of that.
Yeah. Okay, let's put the PP aside.
I'm just going to say it could be this much.
We're
both boys.
Okay. So,
and obviously, when you have more in common with someone, whether it's physically, mentally, whatever it is, when you have something more in common with someone, you're going to be lured just a little bit. Just a little bit.
You're not moved towards it because of their anatomy.
Yeah.
No. You're not. I'm just starting to disagree.
Yes. When I'm going to a college football game on Saturday, the first person I think of is my son.
But that's... Stop. That's because you're...
Because my son's into college football, my daughter's not.
But you just as well could have had a daughter who was into...
I could have, but I don't.
Would you tell Rachel Barbeau?
I don't.
No, but see, that's got nothing to do... That's just the way the cards are dealt. Your son has as much of a chance, and your son is very much into the sports that you are in.
Yeah.
Okay? But there is... absolutely as much of a chance that your son would have no interest in what you're doing.
And I would say like a million men out there would disagree with you.
Ooh, a million men are in denial. Do you know how I watch more men screw their kids up because they're trying to mold them into, not, they're trying to mold them in terms of their interest in what they want.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking just football.
Yeah.
Anything.
I understand.
Yeah. Well, let's stop. We got to stop doing that. We do it so much that it creates far more problems than you lose your bond when you, let me step back. When the kids are born, every parent does the same thing, almost. And that is, we try to mold them gently into the things that we like. It makes sense, right? Yeah. Particularly if they happen to like it. Totally makes sense. It's awesome. And then there comes this point, it's usually around, I don't know, age 5 or 6.
Yeah.
You know, you get your kid to play football, and the girl dancing and all this stuff, yeah. and there comes this point where you go, okay, the kid doesn't like football. The kid doesn't like, you know,
yeah.
but there's that moment of reckoning because they're young enough that you're going, oh, no, just play another year. Come on, watch. And where you have your choice is at that point, you got to stop. And more parents don't stop because, and I understand, we want them to like the same things we do. And it's super hard for us to accept that our kids don't necessarily like the same things that we do. And the more we hammer on them, one of two things happen. Either the kid is compliant. Oh, yeah, Dad, I'll go with the football game. And then, you know, whatever, 10 years later, God, I can't stand every damn game. Or they rebel and they're, I don't want to do this. And that's what I say this, Tony, because I see so many parents so caught up in the rejection that they feel because their kids are either not like them, don't want to do the same things there.
Yeah, well, I'm not going there. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
Sons are more like that.
But you're talking about forcing your child to like something.
I'm saying naturally.
I'm most fathers I know anyway are like, okay, their son doesn't want to play soccer anymore. Okay, fine, we'll do something else. I don't.
That's you.
Okay,
you
that's
that
me.
Way.
Okay, I'm not like that.
Oh, come on. Not you're
I'm not.
No, you're not, but come on.
But I will tell you this. If my kid's going to commit something, he's going to do it.
No, that's not.
You
want to
be on the soccer? Okay, well, that's another thing. But I haven't pushed my child. I'm
you
like,
haven't. Hey, no.
Yeah,
you haven't.
Yeah.
But I see more. Oh,
yeah, we see it with football down here all the time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kids that play 3 or 4 more years of football than they probably want to because their dads want them to be the next Alabama or Auburn football scorer.
I get that. That's what I'm saying. But I do not think sons and dads are, other than anatomy, are any more alike than dads and daughters in terms of personality, their tendencies, their interests. It's not a 50-50 shot, but you got it.
Okay, well, it's not a 50-50 shot. What do you mean?
Well, my, okay, I'm...
hold on! You just said it's not a 50-50 shot. Okay, then which way does it go then?
You can't predict it because... Because the reason I'm saying
that... just saying 9 times out of 10, that 51% probably is with the boy because it's the father. No. And with the mother.
No, no. Because I'm saying that your child's disposition, let's use that. I'm trying to find the right word. Personality disposition. Put the genetics aside. I mean, not the genetics, I'm sorry. Put the anatomy aside for a second. Their personality, their disposition, kind of what they're like. You have a chance that it's 50-50 mom and dad, 60-40 mom and dad, 70-30 mom and dad, some strange mashup. We've all seen this with, like, my kid's not like either of them. And that's what I'm saying is you can't predict it. It's kind of how much they got. And that's kind of what I'm saying is, and the other thing is they change over time. I'm sure you've seen this in your kids. I'm still seeing it as they're adults. There are times I watch my kids as they were growing up and they were like exactly like their mom.
Yeah.
And much more compatible with their mom.
Yeah.
There were times where they're exactly like their mom and headbutt with their mom. Times like more like me. So that's what I'm saying is that you don't, they're not necessarily more like you dispositionally. They may be. You may get one like that. That's why I'm saying. And that gets into the love and like. That totally gets into love and like. And I'll make it even more complicated. The more they are like you dispositionally, sometimes we think, oh, that's great. We're going to, but sometimes it becomes they headbutt more because they got all your bad characteristics.
Okay, we're fired up, dude. I mean,
jeez,
we're 10 minutes into it. I mean, I know you always start the show off when you're wrong. You always get upset. I know it's.
I'm not wrong. I speak for every man.
My whole
point. Wish I had an out.
I
wish I don't have an out.
I do because. I know who's going to teach my son how to shave. I know how.
Okay.
I know what I'm going to. There is more commonality just from an anatomical.
Absolutely.
And listen.
Absolutely, I'm with you.
That's my point. It's like this. It doesn't have to be like this. I'm just saying there's just a little bit more.
Anatomical.
If you ask a father in most families, and they have a son or a daughter, and you say, "Which child do you spend more time with, Dad?" It's going to be the son because he's going to be going camping with the son.
No, but you see, you're already doing it. You're already doing it. That's assuming.
But I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's the truth.
But that's...
That is the truth.
So because you're going to make your kid go camping...
I was walking down the street the other day, and there was a father out there with his two boys and his two daughters, and he was walking with his sons, and they were picking trees, and the girls were with their mom and doing their thing. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
It's very wrong.
Okay.
It's very wrong. Yeah. Because you let...
I'm not saying he doesn't love his daughters.
No,
I'm just saying that he's got more in common with his boys.
Based it's okay. on what?
Because they're boys.
No, because you're doing... No, God. This is why kids are screwed up. You want to know? I'm going to look at the camera. You want to know why your kids are screwed up? Because you're doing exactly that. This is a boy.
I need my coffee.
And they should have more in common. And they're going to have more in common with me. So I'm going to take it. And so not only you're screwing your sons up, you're screwing your daughters up. Because now your daughter feels abandoned by you because you're busy doing stuff with your son who doesn't really want to do that anyway. Like, stop living in a fantasy world. There are more of us parents who live in an absolute fantasy world about what we think we want our kids to be.
No, it's not what we think they want them to be. It's what the kid wants.
No.
The kid wants to be there.
You're so full of it. You're doing that. And you see, you got this fun. This is the Tony. I'm going to tell you. You want to hear it behind the scenes?
No, I understand.
This is the Tony Curry. Josh is wound up, so I'm going to just keep putting it in there.
No, I understand your point. I do understand your point. And I think we're both right. In most cases, we're both right. You know I'm right. You just said I was right to an extent. You said, yeah, a little bit. But I understand your psychology, yes.
I think you just better be real. You have to be super careful. And not just because of the sons forcing them to do things they don't want to do. I see a lot of daughters who felt...
No, I mean, more so for the daughters, because daughters that don't have that father figure in their life and sons that don't have a mother figure in their life are screwed up.
No, but no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying father and mom in their life... And dad gravitates towards the son because that's his area of comfort. And the daughter...
And sometimes it's because the son wants to do something that the mother doesn't want to do.
That's fine.
You boys go off and you guys go hiking.
No, I get that. Yeah. I get that. But when the daughter wants to, I see a lot of times the daughter gets the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say it.
Yeah.
daughter gets the vibe that this is what the boys do.
Yeah.
But that doesn't fly.
All right, so the whole point of this thing was, is it okay or is it taboo? And like you said, you can say it to your priest.
I was trying to think therapist. Who else you could, therapist. I don't know who else.
Because most dads I know, if they have multiple sons,
yes,
it's so taboo. You can't even ask the question. You see it.
Yes.
One kid is more like the dad, or he more acts
compatible.
More like the dad, or he does more things that the dad wants him to do. Where the other kid's a little quiet, he's more artistic. Maybe he's off doing his. You love the kids equally. You always love the kids equally. There's a million, trillion, billion different types of love.
But
so that's the big difference. I think you can throw out the whole, I love this child more than the other.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You should anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if you don't, you're messed up.
Right.
To sit there and say, I love this child more than the other, you may love them differently.
Yeah.
You may have a lot more in common with that thing. I saw it with my dad. You know, my dad didn't have nearly as much in common with my oldest brother as he did with me and his second son. Didn't mean he loved him any less. It just means that he had more in common. And so when we get together, we would end up talking the most because we had so many compatible things. And
did your brothers feel at times?
Yes.
Sometime. I don't know when.
Yes.
Your dad didn't love him as much.
Yes.
That's the problem.
And that is a problem.
Because if you're the parent.
Unbeknownst to my dad.
Yeah. So if you're the parent and you can say, I've seen her. Well, of course I love my kids all the same.
That's known as the black sheep in the family.
Yeah, well, and of course, you saying, of course I love all my kids the same.
Yeah.
Even if you tell your kids, of course, you know, because we've seen, you see this all the time. There's 2-3 kids and one of the kids comes out and says, you don't love me as much as, you know, my brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Right. And what do we do as parents? Oh, no, that's not true.
No.
But the kid says that because they're not making it up. Now, sometimes they're being a little melodramatic or whatever, but they're not making it up. What they're going on is based on how you act and interact with that kid. So this is your challenge as a parent. Even if you love them, absolutely love them the same, or love them whatever differently. If you're not showing that, your kid knows instantly.
Yeah.
They're like, so again, I've seen this in my own family. When your child and you are compatible, you like the same things, it's easy, right? And then you got the kid who's less compatible, either disposition-wise or interest-wise. And a lot of times what parents do is they just kind of slowly gravitate just a little bit more towards the kid that they have, mm-hmm. right? You have to show, if you love your child, that you are as interested in what they're doing. Again, if they're artistic and you're not artistic, it's not that you have to become artistic, but you sure as heck should say, you know what? I'd love to learn how to.
You see this in family businesses a lot.
I see. You want to talk about a disaster?
When I watch the men who made America, or history that made America, or whatever, it's great. It's very motivational. Or the machines that made America.
Yep.
It's all about these families, and inevitably, whenever the father's doing very, very well. He either wants his son to follow in his footsteps and he makes it very difficult for that son because he's got to do it his way, or the son feels intrigued or feels like he needs to take over that business because he started at a younger age. Maybe he's putting widgets away or something at the age of 13 and he grows. But there's always that one child that goes off.
Look at the Trump family. Look at the Kennedy family.
Great point.
I mean, those are, and those are families where there are males and females. I think, first of all, you take any combination, all boys, all girls, half and half, gay, straight. I mean, it doesn't matter what the combination is. It poses challenges.
Yeah.
And you see it in every family. And I think it's our job as a parent not to just say that we love our kids, you know, equally but differently. But for that child that we are less compatible with is kind of a pain in the ass. Like, we kind of don't like
it. Oh, yeah.
It is your job to show that child that you show them that you love them, not just like somehow feel that you do. And that's hard. You know, we always talk about parenting is hard. The easy part of parenting.
Especially when you do have a son that seems to be doing everything right. I see it. I see it in so many families.
Oh.
Where now at the age of 55, because their kids are older than mine, where one son's really, really doing well. He's just doing all the right things. and he's successful. He's got the family. He's doing now again. It's a long life, right? Things can change. And then you got the other son where he's just like, I just can't. And they may be close in age. I just can't see what he can't stay in the same job. He's moving from place to place.
Right.
He's
How
hanging out with the wrong women. Da 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 da. And so yeah. You love them equally.
But you have to show them that you love them equally. Yeah. And again, I'm not saying that you say it's all okay.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part. And if you're truthful with yourself, if you're truthful, it's easier to love the child who you're more compatible with if you don't tap into a deeper level what it means to love your child.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you say it's easier to love my child who I'm more compatible with, is less pain in the ass, all those kinds of things. Now you're not really telling me that you love it, that, you know, you really love. Now it's just like, you're not very deep.
Yep.
You're up here, and as a parenting, you need to be way down.
Speaking of families, and I want to get back into this. Is it okay to, we're going to throw out the love, because I think for the most part, although we could.
We
could go there. Because I'm sure there is some person saying, hell yeah, I love this son more than I love this son.
Internally, yeah.
I love him, but not as much as that kid.
Absolutely.
It's totally taboo. It's something that we never talk about because we don't even throw that out to another parent. Because you're like, what are you talking about? No, you
don't even want to admit it.
That's disgusting. Why would you even ask me that question? So we dumb it down a little bit to, okay, is there one kid that you have a lot more in common with or you like being with more so than the other kid?
And that's an easier one. Yeah. I mean, it's still hard to comment on that, but you can get that coming out in social circles.
Yeah. And to your point, if you were listening earlier in the show, that's when you have those summer get-togethers when everyone's a little older and there is a camaraderie. Maybe it's because you worked with your dad, or maybe and you can feel that now as I'm a little older, you can feel that they don't feel like they're as much of a part of the family because, quite frankly,
they're not.
The father doesn't have as much in common. It's a little uncomfortable when they talk, depending on how often they see that son or that daughter.
Really, listen. There are you said it, and I think a lot of our listeners, it is not uncommon to have a parent as you're an adult who dies, and you've spent your whole life wondering or trying to figure out why they don't like you or love you as much. That's incredibly common. As much as I was hammering on it,
yeah.
I would venture to say it's more the norm.
Yeah.
Of a child growing up pretty convinced and probably accurately so that their parent didn't not love them, but didn't love them as much as their siblings. And listen, if we're just being honest, that and this goes back to what I was saying before, I think a lot of parents do love their kids equally, but they don't treat them as if they love them equally, because it's harder to show the one that is less compatible with you that you love them just as much. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. Because it is one of the most painful things as an adult, if you've got siblings, or even if you don't, to grow up and get to this point as an adult where you have to come to realize you've been denying it your whole life that your dad or your mom just simply didn't love you as much, it is devastating. And you know when it's most devastating? Right at the end when that parent is dying or dies, and you're in this really tough position because you know that they did not have that kind of relationship, and you feel obligated, and you actually feel like maybe this will be my last chance before they die.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of parents go to their grave that don't, you know, and I know that that's a real bummer and whatever, but here's the thing. There's always the opportunity. That's the sad thing. There's always the opportunity. You could do it. The kids who feel that their parents don't love them as much, like if you're a parent at any point, whether your kid is 12 or 22 or 42, and you can change over that, your 42-year-old son or daughter would be, oh my, thank God.
Well, and I think there's also that thought, depending on how old that father or that mother is, and it goes for mothers too.
Oh yeah. Yes, it is. It is definitely not.
It's always the. It's always on the father because fathers. No, men aren't as emotionally attached and blah blah blah.
Not always. Yeah.
No, it goes to the mother too. There's that thought that you moved on, you have children, you're giving me grandchildren, right. And now it's up to you to create that relationship with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm 72. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to change now? You know, I love
that's,
you.
That's so
interesting. And so why don't you come around as much? Why don't you bring the family more to see me?
That's even
why
worse.
Why don't you? And that's even, oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's not.
You're an adult.
That's great.
You're an adult. You need to show me how much I should love you.
Well, you know what? Like, right. Well, you're exactly. And you're going, you know what? You've treated me as second class my entire life. And now you want me to bring my grandkids around?
Yeah.
I mean, my kids to show you? F you.
Yeah.
And then it goes back and forth and back and forth. And then somebody dies.
We were talking about the taboo subject of liking one child over another. I mentioned the fact that I said, asking me whether I like college football more than NFL football is like asking me if I like one child more than another. And not assuming I was going to get any response, actually, I did. Someone said, you know, it's true. He said, if I had one kid that I had to send to daycare, it'd be a slam dunk, which one that would be. And then another person said, I know it's taboo and you're not supposed to talk about it, but hell yeah, I love one more child over another. And I was like, okay, great. Thanks for the topic. We got pretty deep in it the first segment here on KCAST Radio. There are different types of love. There are trillions of different types of love. The love for a child should be even across. I don't even know if it is even because, I mean, if we really break it down, there may be like, this part of the love that means more than this part of the love.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's what every parent says. We love each of our
children.
If equally.
You do truly love one more child than another, then you got issues.
You have issues, but listen.
I'm not saying there are parents that don't, because there are some parents that are like, I cannot get this kid right. And this one's doing everything right.
Yeah, but listen, like you say you got issues. That's interesting. It sounds like, you got issues. And what I would say is, I'm saying, you got issues.
Yeah.
So you need to deal with those issues. Like, there are parents who love one child more than another. And there are parents who will tell you they're devastated because they love one child more than another. Right?
Yeah.
So the question is, if you find yourself in that position, it happens. What are you going to do about it? Because a lot of parents, it's like a taboo thing, right? I don't want to. No. You tell me, oh, no, I love my. Come on. It's okay. I'm a psychologist. Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me. I love women. Okay. What are we going to do about that? How are we? Because love is, you know, it's so ambiguous and amorphous. Mm-hmm. So let's, again, I would say this is my public service announcement. If you, in your heart of hearts, know or believe that you love one child more than the other, that is a good time to go to somebody.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, this is not about a psychiatric disorder. Maybe go to your clergy. But that is not a thing that you should just like try to rationalize away, don't deal with, whatever. If you're, and you know it here, if you go, oh my God. Now, one thing I will say, we've both experienced this, although actually I've experienced it more than you because your kids are younger. It does wax and wane. Mm-hmm. So there are times where you'd be part of your life thinking, oh my God, I don't love this one as much as the other. And it freaks you out. And then something happens. Because I always say to parents, remember, your child's on this growth trajectory of change. This change trajectory, you know, you're
four. Yeah, where they don't love you as much.
Right. They're going.
Like at the age of 14.
Oh, you see it all the time. Yeah. You see the kids going back and forth. So my point is, if you're consistently feeling like I don't love this child as much as the other, I would go talk to somebody, psychologist, clergy. Now, at the same time, it is not uncommon, and you said it, I think it's great. You're going along and you're rocking along this kid, and all of a sudden this kid doesn't love you. My kid doesn't love, well, you know what? I don't love them. I see it all the time. I know.
That's ridiculous.
No, but it happens all the time.
I know, it's sad.
It happens internally.
Yeah.
When your child rejects you.